This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news to be followed by Panorama and then our feature of Echo of the African Synod. Today we shall close with our sports roundup. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Leo XIV on Tuesday met with papal representatives or ambassadors from all over the world. This was the first meeting of the nuncios, as the papal representatives are called, since the election of the new pope. In his address, Pope Leo urged them to bear witness to the love of the church for the world and her desire to do anything possible to stand on the side of those in need. The Holy Father also reminded them of their big responsibility to radiate the universality of the church and her desire for peace. Devin Watkins tells us more.
As other popes have done at their first meeting with their diplomatic representatives, Pope Leo gifted each with a ring symbolizing their bond to the successor of Peter, which bears the inscription Sub Umbra Petri.
Sentitevi sempre legati a Pietro.
Always feel bound to Peter, guarded by Peter, sent by Peter, said the Pope. Only in obedience and effective communion with the Pope can your ministry be effective for the edification of the Church in communion with the local bishops. Papal representatives, he noted, are an image of the Catholic Church and her universality, since they hail from many nations and are sent to represent the Pope throughout the world. Pope Leo expressed his gratitude for their service, saying he especially appreciates their expertise in understanding issues and situations related to any given country.
Siate sempre lo sguardo di Pietro.
Always be Peter's gaze, added the Pope. Be men capable of building relationships where it is most difficult. Pope Leo XIV said the Church is ready for anything out of love and is always on the side of the least and the poor. She will always defend the sacred right to believe in God, he said, to believe that this life is not at the mercy of the powers of this world, but is permeated by a mysterious meaning. This mission, he added, is especially important in the places where war, violence, and injustice leave people crucified. In conclusion, Pope Leo invited his representatives to be missionaries sent by the Pope, to be instruments of communion and unity in the service of human dignity. I'm Devin Watkins.
On the eve of the Jubilee of the Holy See on Monday, which culminated in High Mass presided over by the Holy Father Pope Leo XIV, the Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin gave an interview to Vatican Radio in which he spoke about the important role played by the diplomatic corps of the Holy See. Parolin described apostolic nuncios as bridges that link the Pope with local churches, the church with states, and the world's wounds with the hope of the gospel. Linda Bodoni has this report.
It's a key moment of unity for the Church's diplomatic service, Cardinal Parolin noted, as apostolic nuncios, who often live far from Rome, come together as one family around the Pope, renewing the bond between the universal and local Church. Describing their role as both diplomatic and pastoral, nuncios, he explained, represent the Holy Father to states and local churches, working to promote peace, dialogue, and religious freedom. But they're also pastors, he said, men of the Church called to reflect the example of Christ, the Good Shepherd. In today's challenging global landscape, the Cardinal highlighted three essential qualities for papal diplomats: humility, evangelical zeal, and a spirit of reconciliation. Vatican diplomacy, he explained, is not about power, but about service rooted in the gospel. And looking ahead, the Vatican Secretary of State mentioned the recent reforms to the Pontifical Ecclesiastical Academy, which aim to form priests who are both professionally prepared and spiritually grounded. Concluding, Cardinal Parolin repeated the late Pope Francis's invitation to be sowers of peace, reminding all pontifical representatives that the other is never just an adversary, but always a human being open to dialogue. I'm Linda Bordoni.
The Nigerian Bishops' Conference has organized a workshop to commemorate 60 years of Nostra Aetate from the Latin In Our Time. This is a landmark declaration on the relation of the Church with non-Christian religions. According to the Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue, this document is considered the fundamental text of the relationship of the Catholic Church with other religions. It is an official declaration of the Second Vatican Council that was promulgated on 28th October 1965 by Pope Paul VI. The Department of Mission and Dialogue of the Catholic Secretariat of Nigeria organized this two-day conference under the theme 60 Years of Nostra Aetate, a Journey of Discovery, Dialogue and Friendship. The event brought together faith leaders from the two dominant religions who deliberated on how to promote the dialogue of life in Nigeria. Delphine Asu has this report.
The conference featured two keynote speakers from the dominant religions in Nigeria, Christianity and Islam. Most Reverend Stephen Dami Mamza, the Catholic Bishop of Yola Diocese, in his keynote address, looked at the influence the document has had on religion and how these can impact interreligious dialogue.
The document's 60th anniversary provides an opportunity to reflect on its impact and the multi-religious world's response to this new approach to interfaith relations, particularly with Judaism and with the Islamic religion. Over the past 60 years, its implications have resonated deeply within both religious communities and broader societal contexts. At this particular celebration, it is of utmost importance to work out how these principles can be extended to foster dialogue among all religious communities, including Islam and various indigenous beliefs that prevalent in Nigeria.
In his response, Sheikh Dr. Muhammad Nuruddin Lemu underscored the importance of love as a common denominator among the two dominant religions.
How we understand God is critical to how we view each other. And it's interesting the answer the Prophet, peace be upon him, gave. The Prophet Muhammad was telling his companions, the way the angel Gabriel kept emphasizing on the rights of neighbors, I thought he is going to mention neighbors as among the heirs who will inherit from you when you die.
In Abuja, Nigeria, Delphine Asu reporting.
Members of the Regional Union of the Diocesan Priests of West Africa, RUPWA for short, are meeting in a gathering that will explore ways in which to implement what West Africa's Catholic bishops recommended during their May 5th to 12th plenary assembly in Dakar in Senegal. The grouping of the Regional Episcopal Conference of West Africa, known by its acronym as RECOWA, during their May 5th to 12th plenary assembly, recommended the need to value ethnic, religious, and cultural diversity as a strength, not as a source of discord, and to prioritize a collective will based on dialogue rather than division, justice rather than impunity, and education rather than ignorance. The Catholic bishops ministering in Benin, Burkina Faso, Niger, Ivory Coast, Gambia, Sierra Leone, Ghana, Guinea, Liberia, Mali, Nigeria, Senegal, Mauritania, Cape Verde, Guinea-Bissau, and Togo also recommended that church institutions in their respective countries be strong, credible, fair, and rooted in local realities. The Catholic news agency Arch Africa quotes the second vice president of RUPWA, Father Peter Conte, as saying that during the June 9th to 15th Congress taking place in Benin's capital city, Cotonou, the Catholic priests will discuss strategies to locally realize peace in the region that is experiencing insecurity and religious extremism. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The World Health Organization has said the mpox outbreak remains a public health emergency and is now revising temporary recommendations to the member states experiencing the outbreak. The WHO first declared the emergency in August last year when an outbreak of a new form of the virus spread from the badly hit Democratic Republic of Congo to neighboring countries. Speaking during an international health regulations meeting on Monday, WHO Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said that the mpox upsurge still meets the threshold of a public health emergency. Mpox, also known as monkeypox, spreads from person to person through close contact with someone who is infected. In 2022, the virus was confirmed to spread via sex for the first time and triggered outbreaks in more than 70 countries across the world that had not previously reported mpox cases. In Africa, the outbreak has been reported in several countries, including the hardest hit Democratic Republic of Congo, Rwanda, Uganda, Tanzania, Burundi, and Sierra Leone. The UN World Food Programme has warned that several areas south of Sudan's capital Khartoum are at risk of famine amidst a food aid funding shortfall for the war-ravaged country. The agency said on Tuesday it had reached 1 million people in several localities in Khartoum after gaining access to the capital, but added that the need on the ground exceeds the resources available. The level of hunger and destitution and desperation that was found is severe and confirmed the risk of famine in those areas, Laurent Bukera, WFP country director in Sudan, told reporters in Geneva via video link from Port Sudan. The conflict between Sudan's army and the rival rapid support forces has displaced millions and split the country into rival zones of control. The agency said rations of oil and pulses had been reduced in its food distributions because it faces a funding shortfall of $500 million for emergency food and cash assistance as donor states reduce humanitarian funding. The Rome-based agency said it is currently assisting 4 million people across Sudan. Meanwhile, as refugees from Sudan continue to flood into neighboring Chad, the UN Special Representative for Central Africa, Abdou Abari, has raised the alarm over the deepening crisis refugees are facing in the country. The international community's inaction risks exacerbating the humanitarian situation, especially as the ongoing conflict in Sudan continues to result in an increasing number of refugees heading to Chad, said Mr. Abari in his address to the UN Security Council. The UN estimates that some 1.2 million Sudanese have found shelter in the eastern part of Chad, mostly after fleeing intensifying violence in their country. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now, our feature, Millennium Appointment. This year, the Catholic Church in South Africa is marking the 207th anniversary of the arrival of the Catholic faith. The history of the Catholic faith in the country dates back to the arrival of Portuguese explorers. The first explorer to arrive in the region was Bartholomew Dias. He landed in present-day Walvis Bay on 8 December 1487. He called it the Gulf of St. Mary of Conception. It is believed that the first Catholic Holy Mass in South Africa was celebrated on the island of the Holy Cross near present Port Elizabeth, either in late December 1487 or early January 1488. Other Portuguese explorers visited the area on their way to India, prominent among them Vasco da Gama. These explorers also brought missionaries with them, but the priests did not remain behind to evangelize South Africa. In 1652, the Dutch, through a trade company known as the Dutch East India Company, colonized the Cape of South Africa. 4 years earlier, in 1648, the 30 Years' War in Europe had ended with the Treaty of Westphalia. Religion had been a key element in that conflict, which was fought between Catholic and Protestant states. Consequently, it featured in the treaty. It was agreed that the religion of the ruler would be the official religion of the state. And so the freedom of religion and the freedom of worship depended on the ruler. About the same time, the United Provinces of the Netherlands were created after a long war against Catholic Spain. The provinces were religiously mixed, and as a result, the rulers were relatively tolerant to avoid religious wars. However, the Dutch East India Company did not extend this tolerance to South Africa. It was strongly Protestant and Calvinist in belief, and made it a policy to prohibit Catholicism in South Africa. No Catholic churches could be built, no priests or nuns were allowed to live and minister there. Catholic bishops and priests whose ships had accidents in the area were not allowed to go to the mainland to meet the natives. The policy was ruthlessly enforced until 1804, when the Netherlands officially opted for religious tolerance. In 1806, the British took control of the Cape Colony and, like the Dutch East India Company, forbade the practice of Catholicism. The few Catholic priests who had slipped into the colony were expelled. Then in 1818, Pope Pius VII appointed a Benedictine priest, Father Edward Bede Slater, to be the apostolic vicar of the Cape. But he never set foot on South African soil because the British government in London forbade him to go there. So he went to Mauritius, where he headed a bigger vicariate, which in theory administered also the Cape Colony. His successor, William Placid Morris, also resided in Mauritius because he was denied permission to go to the Cape Colony. In the 1830s, however, the British government began to relax its restrictions towards other religions. Taking advantage of this, Catholic missionaries began to arrive. In 1837, the Pope appointed a Dominican bishop, Raymond Griffith, as the apostolic vicar of the Cape. It was after that appointment that real evangelization began, and the Catholic Church in South Africa began to take shape as an institution. 10 years later, the Pope created another vicariate in the area, which took the name of Eastern Cape Vicariate, with Father Aidan Deverieux as its head. It was Father Deverieux who invited the first female religious congregations to South Africa. Then in 1852, the first missionary of the newly founded Congregation of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate arrived. From then on, more Catholic religious congregations were invited, and the church began to expand from the Cape to other parts of present South Africa. In the 1860s, it had opened missions in present Lesotho and also administered the church in present Zimbabwe, Botswana, and Eswatini, the former Swaziland. In 1951, the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference was formed and includes the dioceses of South Africa, Botswana, and Eswatini, the former Swaziland. In the last 207 years, the Catholic Church in Southern Africa has played a major role in the educational and health sectors of society. It started many primary and secondary schools, which contributed to the training of the past, present, and future leaders of the region. Its health facilities, which include hospitals, clinics, dispensaries, and hospices, serve all people irrespective of religion, tribe, ethnicity, and race. In addition, the Catholic Church in Southern Africa has played a big role in the promotion of justice, peace, and democracy, defending the poor and the marginalized, pointing out injustices in society, and uniting people for democracy. It played a visible role in the campaign against colonialism in the region, and also contributed to the fall of the racist apartheid system in South Africa. And with that, we come to the end of this week's edition of Millennium Appointment. I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime.
This is a sports roundup and a welcome to the program. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Double Olympic champion Beatrice Chebet is now salivating for the 500 meters world record after an overwhelming victory at the Rome Diamond League on Friday night. Chebet believes it is only a matter of time before she runs a sub-14. The 25-year-old continued her dominant showing in 2025, clocking an eye-catching 14.0369 to win the women's 5,000 meters, 3 seconds slower than the current world record held by Ethiopian Gudaf Tsegay. Meanwhile, Ethiopia's Haile Frewain took second place in a personal best of 14.1933 seconds as Italian Nadia Batocletti clocked a national record of 14.2315 seconds to claim the final podium place. It came only less than a fortnight after she came painfully close to smashing the world record for women's 3,000 meters at the fourth leg of the Diamond League in Doha. On that occasion, the world cross-country champion clocked 8 minutes 11.56 seconds on her way to victory, 6 seconds slower than the current world record of 8 minutes 6.11 seconds set by China's Wang Junqian in 1993. Following her dominant run, Chebet leads the Diamond League standings for the women's 5,000 meters with 24 points, 11 ahead of Batocletti. The sixth leg of the prestigious competition is set for June 12th in the Norwegian capital, Oslo. There was a near scare in South Africa on Sunday when one of the athletes competing in the Comrades Marathon went missing soon after crossing the finishing line. Moila Harding crossed the finish line at 4:52 p.m. on Sunday, but went missing shortly after completing the race. The Comrades Marathon Association confirmed her safe return and thanked the public for their support and prayers. The Comrades Marathon Association confirmed the news early on Monday, saying Moira Harding has been found and is alive. Moira was wearing race number M33485 when she took part in the grueling ultramarathon from Pietermaritzburg to Durban. After finishing the 85.91-kilometer race, she was last seen near the finish line but never made contact with her friends or family again. Volunteers and members of the public joined the search for her overnight. Gods Raid, one of the people who led the search effort, asked people to please pray for her recovery as concern grew late into Sunday night. The circumstances around Moira's disappearance are still unclear, but her safe return has brought huge relief to the running community and her family. Nigeria is hosting an interesting course for technical and physical fitness instructors and for young talents in refereeing. These annual FIFA member association courses have attracted a total of 80 participants from all over the country. The courses that began on June 8th at the MKO Abiola National Stadium in Abuja will conclude on 19th June. According to the Nigeria Football Federation, the objective of the courses is to bring Nigeria's technical and physical fitness instructors up to speed with current trends, tendencies and ideals. The National Football Administrators say that this training will help instill global best practices in the refereeing business. World Football Governing Body FIFA has sent technical personnel who are working alongside Nigerian instructors. As we have been announcing on this program, the Vatican is organizing a Jubilee of Sport that is expected to be a very vibrant event. It will intertwine the spirit of athleticism with the profound essence of faith, scheduled to take place on the weekend of 14th and 15th June 2025. The event is part of the larger Jubilee 2025 celebrations. It will bring together sportsmen and women, athletes, sports enthusiasts, and the faithful from around the globe and make them gather in a unique communion of physical prowess and spiritual reflection. The Jubilee of Sport aims to highlight the values of discipline, teamwork, and perseverance, which are inherent in both sports and the Catholic faith. Participants will engage in various sporting events, workshops, and discussions that emphasize the role of sports in promoting peace, unity, and holistic development. This gathering not only celebrates the achievements of athletes, but also underscores the importance of sports as a means of fostering community and spiritual growth. The climax of this occasion will be the Eucharistic celebration presided over by the Holy Father Pope Leo XIV in St. Peter's Square on Sunday, 15th June. Entrance to St. Peter's Square on this occasion of the Holy Mass with the Holy Father is completely free and does not require any type of ticket. So, you are all welcome. And on that note, we come to the end of today's edition of our Sports Roundup. Until next week, at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudato Jesus Christus.
Your past, so dry your tears, I say.